home sleeping today. It was a rough week, but I trust the Lord. I asked Him to take it away, and the word came finally that my grace is sufficient. So I want to live by that today. Physically, it was a hard week, but we're looking to Jesus today for our strength, our sustenance. Without opening your Bibles, who can tell me what Brother Christopher read this morning? John 14. And what's any highlights in that scripture? Any highlights to you? What stood out to you? Brother Chris. Amen. The blessed hope of the blessed, of the saved, the redeemed. Anything else that Brother John? The question was asked, was it by Philip or was it Thomas? Now I have to look again. I think it was Philip or Thomas. Philip, yeah. Anything else? Yes, the good answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And let not your heart be troubled. That talks about anxiety or rest. Rest. Trust. Well, I'll just read a couple again here in verse 11. It says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." I just had this picture this morning. He was reading this. Jesus seated at the right hand of God, just longing for some request to come so he can show himself strong on our behalf. And I believe it's something these last days the Lord would just like. I know his heart is that we would increase our faith. I don't understand everything about faith. I just be honest with you. Today we like to talk about faith. And I don't want to become like the Pharisees, because they were good at reasoning among themselves, and just logic, just trying to figure it out. But today, well, we're looking at the next one in Ephesians 6 there, on the armor. We looked at being girt about with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And 2 weeks ago, I think I shared on the preparation of the gospel of peace, sharing the gospel with our feet, being prepared for that, and also how that correlates with John's ministry of preparing a people, guiding their feet into the way of peace as was prophesied. But today we'd like to look at, it says there, above all this armor that we're putting on, that we're taking on, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is very important. I'm not sure that it's saying above all the scripture. But in this context of armor, faith is the one you want to have for sure. That phrase comes forth a couple times in scripture. I think in James it's used also about above all, swear not. I think in 1 Peter talks about above all, have fervent charity. So in every context it's referring to, but in this context here of warfare, above all, taking the shield of faith. Remember the story of these two little brothers? They were outside watching the sun go down, as we say, sunset, and they were having a discussion about the sun, is it going down, or is the earth moving? And the first one said, he was just sure that the sun is moving. You see, it was up here a little bit ago above that tree, and now it's down close to the horizon. So the sun is moving, and proof of that is I'm standing on this earth, and it's not, because I'm standing on this earth and it's not moving. It's solid, but the sun is moving. little brother said, Father said, the sun stands still, but the earth is moving. I'm going to believe Father. So that's basically the essence of faith versus logic. Logic is kind of what makes sense, and that's how we, so many of us, I believe, are tempted often to go from faith into logic, reasoning it out. But we can't do that. If we want to have a sunrise, want to have an expected end, we have to live by faith. If we truly see it from God's perspective, we want to live by faith. There's this one phrase, I think it's in them. Stand up for Jesus. The arm of flesh will fail you. As those two boys were discussing, I think that's just the essence of it. Are we going to trust the Father? The Father has given us the word here. This is truth, unerring truth. If we trust the Father, it'll come out right. We cannot trust our own logic like the older brother wanted just to, well, this is, makes sense. This is what I see with my physical eyes. Why don't we turn to 458 in our psalm books? It's 358. Maybe 358 should be the index. Sorry. Yeah, 358. Why don't we stand? Stand up for Jesus. Let's sing this unto the Lord. And verse 3 says, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. He that men now serve Him against the number foes, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The iron of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer. Where do He calls or danger, be never wanting there. Let's pray. Father, we stand here before You. Help us, Lord, to always rely completely on You. Lord, deliver us from standing in our own strength, using the arm of flesh, Lord, and just trusting our own wit, our own knowledge, our own experience even. Lord, help us be so done with ourselves that we can just be completely finished with ourselves and let Jesus rule and reign supremely within. May You fight the battles before us, Lord, and strengthen us, Lord, in these last days by Your Spirit to be faithful to You, Lord. To fight the battle in the name of the Lord and not our own name. Lord, it's because of You that we are gathered here this morning, and I just pray that You would minister to our hearts and You would increase our faith, Lord, our faith in You. It's not our faith in ourselves. Help our focus not to be on our faith, but on You, Lord Jesus. I pray for those that are in the fight in a maybe in a more real way, as it would seem sometimes. I pray for Isabel and Christina this morning. You'd encourage them, Lord, as they're enlisted in the army down there in Central America. And I think of Melinda in India. I pray a blessing upon her, probably nighttime, or again, I'm not sure what time it is right now, but I just pray she'd be refreshed in her spirit as she's given her life to you. Use her, Lord, for your glory there. And I also pray for Brother Caleb this morning. He'd be encouraged, Lord. You would use him to bring many sons into glory, Lord. I just pray you keep them by your power, these young ones. I pray, O Father, that even more would have a desire to go out and preach your word and to live it out, Lord, and to be strong, like we just sang, bring honor and glory to you. I just pray that you would be with us. I pray for Brother John. I believe he's sharing with the Congolese today. I pray and strengthen him and make him a blessing also. Keep us by the love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Okay, so our scripture today is there in Ephesians 6. Like I shared, it's talking about faith this morning. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We're living on a globe where there's fallen angels all around us. There's demons that they are intent, and they have a master, and he's intent to take us out. Nothing rather than to see us all be defeated, they all falling into sin or just giving up on faith. So faith, I believe faith is just more, initially it's how we start this journey, how we are believing the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So verses like that bring us into this realm of faith. But we want to look at faith is such a vast subject. There's like, I think, 250 references just in the New Testament talking about faith. There's only two in the Old Testament. I thought that's interesting. But the word believe and trust comes forth many times in the Old Testament. It has the same meaning. And it's also in the New, believe and belief and so forth. So I guess we just ask, what is faith? Well, what is it not? Sometimes it helps us to look at the opposite. What's the opposite of faith? What's the opposite of trust? And we all know, well, it's doubt, it's unbelief. And actually, the Greek would give doubt and unbelief meanings like this: to oppose, to differ, to hesitate, and to withdraw, faithlessness, and just disobedience. So the opposite of that would be to, instead of opposing, you're joining up with the Lord's army. You're agreeing with His word. What you said, Lord, yes, I'll just take it. I'll just take what you said, I'll agree with it. Instead of opposing, instead of differing, instead of hesitating, today is the day of salvation. And that's not just about becoming saved, I believe. I think today is the day of salvation for whatever issue you face. If you've been walking with the Lord a long time, today, salvation is a present, continuous experience. It's the Lord's responsibility to keep us, but it's our responsibility to be wanting to be kept also. It's a present, continuous situation, this faith. There's another story that I've read many times. It's the story of a widow. I grew up in a home where my mom was a widow many years, and so often the stories about widows kind of connect with me. But there's a widow that she lived in the city, and the city was an unjust judge. He didn't care. He didn't really care for God or man and what it says. Of course, this is in the Bible. This is Luke 18. It says, I care not for God nor regard man. And this widow was there that had an adversary that was just troubling her. And she kept coming to him, just coming to the judge, this unjust judge. Avenge me of this adversary. And he said, I don't want to do it. I don't feel it. I don't have time. But finally he said, I'm so tired of her bugging me. I'm going to take care of it. And the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge says. And how much more shall the Lord avenge his own elect, though he bear long with them? So oftentimes I find it, faith is bearing long with the Lord and he bearing long with us. He's testing our faith. Faith would not be as genuine if we just at the, like have the robe of Aladdin's lamp, and have a genie up here. But sometimes that Lord can, and He will at times, give you an instant response. But sometimes He tries your faith also. He's perfecting your faith. At the end of that story, the Lord asks a question. I think it's a question more for us than it is for Him. He says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" I'd just like to ask my heart that question, your heart. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith in your heart? Will He find faith in my heart?" What is He saying there? I like to say it like this. In John 3 is a very familiar passage to a lot of us, 16, a lot of those verses. But I think it's in verse 33. He says, just turn there, about receiving His testimony. It says that He that hath received His testimony hath set to His seal that God is true. Faith will set a seal. Whatever the Lord sends my way, I'll put my stamp of approval on it. That's what faith will do. It's not faltering. It's not differing from what the will of God is for my life. And I find myself frustrated. I find myself fighting against what He's wanting to do in my life. I have not set my seal that God is true. So faith is setting our seal, receiving His testimony. His testimony is His word, especially talking about His Son here in John 3. Whoever receives the word of the Father about His Son has set to His seal, or has set His seal that no matter what happens, no matter what's coming down my way, I can set my stamp. This is right. This is from God. God is good. That is faith. So many times, professing Christians just are spending their time or their energy trying to get out of this thing, their difficulty. It's just our nature. I want to be removed. Whatever is not pleasing to me. But the Lord would have us just set our seal. Whatever He has for you in your life is from Him. It's from a loving hand. Can we set our seal to that? That God is true. And if we do that, there's a seal that God does on our part. That's 2 Timothy. It says that, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal." This is God's seal upon His people that have accepted Him. It says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Those have accepted His seal, put their seal on whatever God sends, God will put His seal on them also. These are true to our mind. Faith. Just simply, if you look up faith in the Strong's, in the Greek, it's the persuasion, it's credence, the truthfulness or the validity of someone or something, the conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God. Then it says especially reliance upon Christ for salvation and constancy in such profession. And it also means to obey. But that, I think especially this is a good definition. It's a reliance upon Christ, especially for salvation and the constancy in such profession. It means obedience. Trust will give it. And faith in the Old Testament, there's a verse I believe in Psalms 26 is, "I have trusted the Lord in thee, therefore my steps shall not slide." Faith, confidence will give you good traction. In this warfare, we will need traction. So faith will give you confidence. Job had this confidence. He says, "Although He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Even if everything was going against Job, and he probably didn't handle everything right in his response and what came out of his mouth at times, but still he had this testimony. No matter if even He slays me, yet will I trust Him. And I think I struggle to portray in my own life here in America to live this out, because we have so many things in this nation militates against faith. We have so many things available, so easy and so quickly that how many times do we really have to wait on God, or we can just put our own credit card, we buy this or we do that. We have a lot of self-stored energy. I say it would be the arm of flesh. It's like this. I'm reminded different times of the Chinese Christian that visited here in the States, and he came away and one remark, he said he's been amazed how much those Christians can do without God. All the power they have in their own strength. A lot of knowledge, a lot of solutions in their own strength. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I've heard it, I've seen it illustrated like this. I think maybe I'll just do that. Here we have, let's say this is the Lord's salvation for us and faith. Probably the lowliest chair we have in here. But we can use it as an illustration. We'll call this some salvation and faith. And I find that probably a lot of what has happened, a lot of people know about, says, yes, I believe in God. I believe it could help me. I've seen it help many people. Do you believe in it? In God's salvation? I believe it could hold me. I actually have the confidence that it would support me if I would trust in it. There's many things that we could talk about this wonderful salvation. And there's many wonderful things that people do talk about it. I believe it's possible to go through your whole life and know about it and be around it all your life and extol the beauties and the virtue of this salvation, of this faith. Observe it. Talk to others about it. And all the while, it's God's idea. What do you think God wants us to do with this? In it, very simple. But it's not until I just stop all the talking and just take His word that it will support me and just sit in it. It's when I've embraced faith. It's not when I know about it, talk about it, tell others about it, try to push others into it, but just simply personally accept it. Yes, Lord, I agree with you. I believe that's repentance. The essence of the foundation of repentance, just agreeing with God, yes, Lord, and just sitting down. And I find that it does support me. It's taking things from, you know, we talk sometimes about, it's from that position about true salvation, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Him is a matter of going from head knowledge to heart knowledge. And that happens. That basically happens. This level here ends up at heart level when you're standing. It's when you finally give up and you sit down, then you make that transition. It goes from your head to your heart. That's just one way of looking at it. But it's from this position that we start to understand God's principles. Instead of standing here and talking about, I believe in it, I believe it could hold me, I believe it hold you. But unless it, like the definition of faith is, reliance upon Christ. I'm not standing. The arm of flesh will fail you. This salvation, this faith, I have the faith. True faith. I can talk all about faith all I want, but unless I just basically quit talking, just sit down, it avails me nothing. But even in Jesus' day, He was salvation, the embodiment of salvation amongst them. Constantly surrounded by religious leaders, and they talked about Him. They sometimes agree with Him. Most often they were against Him. But I find that many times it says that they reasoned. They went away and they reasoned together. They reasoned. Their logic kept them talking and walking and talking and walking, but they never sat down. Except I think in Acts, in the early church, it says that even a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. They finally sat down, disobeyed the faith. But I believe the devil was working through those people, and he will try to keep you from sitting down. As simple as it seems, he will try to keep you from sitting down, just accepting it, just taking by faith. Yes, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. It's like one One father said, Satan's lie is don't sit down, you'll lose control. That's one lie of the enemy. If you sit down, you're not in control anymore. But what is a greater sign of control than being seated? But the devil's lie that if you're not seated, if you're not given up, it's just a picture of total surrender. If you're not seated, you'll be in control. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And if we're resting with him, we co-reign with him. In Ephesians 1, it says, we're seated together with him in heavenly places. And he is seated because his work is done. Hebrews says, every priest that is standing day by day in the old covenant, I'm sure they got tired at times. Daily they were ministering. But Christ, he made one offering forever, then he sat down. It says he sat down forever. The work is done. The rest is now for those that sit down. I'm just using it as a figure of speech today. That's why in Hebrews 4 it says, talks about that rest we can have in Christ Jesus. It says, let us labor therefore to enter that rest. Sometimes it's just a labor to get people to sit down. It's a labor of our own heart sometimes to convince us. Cease from our own striving. Trust him. That thing will carry you. That thing will hold you. To me, that is just a simple expression. That is what faith is. It's more than knowing about it, seeing it, talking about it, blessing it, and praising it. It's just doing it. Taking him at his word. It's taking someone else's word above my word. That's what those two little boys, those brothers, the young one said, I'm going to take father's word. Didn't make sense always. Faith won't always make sense. I'll just take father's word. And he was right. Satan will come against us, trying to tell us, don't sit down, you lose control. But who had more I think about Apostle Paul. Who was more of a man of faith than Apostle Paul? And just recently, I'm going through Acts, just finished that, but in Acts 27, the shipwreck. When that ship was wrecked, he was on the way towards Rome. In the midst of that storm, I think it was close to 2 weeks, about 14 days they didn't eat. That thing was rocked, probably in a hurricane. I'm sure no one would have been want to be in the hurricane that's raging in the Atlantic right now. But that thing was rocked and beat about, and says they didn't eat. I think he says like for 14 days, no one ate. They said all hope that we're going to be saved was taken away. But Paul, someone that has in the position of total surrender, the faith being lived out, Paul, instead of he was taken as a prisoner, but he ends up commanding the boat, basically telling them what to do. They all listened to Paul. The captain listened to Paul. They ended up doing basically what he said the rest of the journey. Sometimes I wonder, he almost could have told them, okay, now once fair weather, 3 months later when they set sail again, let's head southwest. Let's get out of here. He probably almost could have done that, but he kept on going for Rome. But he was in control. Basically, faith is in control. Faith, when we are totally surrendered, when we're accept the Lord at his word, we're in control, or really it's Christ in control. We're just reigning with him. So never listen. Just forever put that voice of the enemy, the doubts and the accusation, that if you give up control, if you quit walking around, if you sit down, you lose control. You'll gain control like you've never had before. I think it's when we sit down, when we surrender, when we just accept it, just do it as we said, is when the law that talks about in Romans, Romans chapter 3 says, we're talking about the law of faith, and Romans 7 and 8 talks about various laws. It talks about the law of our members, the law of our mind, the law of sin. It's basically when we sit down, we start experiencing the change from the law of gravity, which is the law of sin, always wants to go down, just naturally. If I just hold this up, every time I drop it, the law of gravity will go down. But it says then in Romans 8, I think it's verse 2, for the law of the there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, to those which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. A higher law, I think it's just like the law of, I've heard it explained like this, aerodynamics. Maybe you've preached that already, I'm not sure. But the law, a higher law like aerodynamics is a higher law. And that takes an effect. That's higher, and I believe it happens when we just surrender and the Lord starts working that out in our life. And I've always been fascinated some of my sons are too, with airplanes and flight. But the law of aerodynamics is basically the shape of a wing. They take the shape of a wing. A side view, that looks more like a whale, but that's the principle is this, the front of the wing, you ever sat on an airliner, you see the front of the wing is wider and it slopes back to the tail, but the bottom is essentially straight. But up here, the air hits this, and this is a theory of aerodynamics. This wind, this air keeps moving basically the same, undisturbed, but here it breaks and the air that travels along the top, it splits here, and this has to meet back here same time, but since it has to travel further, it has to travel faster, so there's less resistance on the top. That's what causes the lift. The lift in an airliner. And you can't really just see that all with your eyes, but it's a matter of faith. It took some faith for some of those earlier pilots to try this out. But it's reality in the airlines. So salvation is just not a one-time sitting down, but it's a staying there. It's like the definition was, it's a constancy in such a profession. It's an ongoing salvation. I believe we are saved initially, but we're keeping saved, but then there's a deliverance coming. We're looking forward to that coming again when we'll have the consummation, when we'll be delivered from this body, this sin, this fallen world. But it's right now for the Christian, stay in the seat. Please stay seated. And if you're not seated, please have a seat, is what the Lord is saying. A constancy in such profession. And but I will admit, this part of the journey, sitting here and allowing the Lord to live it out by His Spirit in our life, He will do it mostly, a lot of time, through a lot of suffering, difficulties. That's how He perfects. I don't understand all of God's ways of thinking, and I don't profess to, but He wants to perfect our faith. And that's why it talks about the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So if you try with fire, it might be found in the praise when He comes again at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another way of thinking about faith is, talking about airlines and so forth, is the pilots can't just go by visual. I mean, unless you just want to fly in the day and always make sure that the forecast is going to be clear. But probably most of us that have flown have been part of a journey that you've landed at night, and the pilots have to go by instruments, and they have faith in those instruments, and those instruments, if you watch them closely, will land them safely. So there again, they're putting their trust not in what they see, but something outside of themselves. That's basically what faith is, what we are doing with our very soul. We will never save our own souls. He that seeks to save his life, just walking around, it's going to lose it, but whosoever will lose life just sits down, accepts what the Lord says is going to save it. A couple months ago, I think maybe 3-4 months ago, Dave Grice was here. He's a brother from Western Iowa, where we used to live. I think a few of you might remember when they were here. But a couple years ago, his son Josh, he's always been a good friend of mine for probably about 30 years. Difference in age, but we're good friends. He was taking flight lessons, and he showed me the flight path that he and his trainer were on. They were putting their confidence in. They started on a journey, I think they were in Tennessee, and something happened with their instruments. Everything went dead. They had nothing, and it was foggy. They couldn't see anything. Later, he showed me. They thought, this is it. They thought, there's no way out. But that flight path, it just looked something like this. They were all over the place. He still has a copy of that. And he thought, we're done for. If their instruments would have been working, could have saved them from all of that. But I'm so thankful that the Word of God is not like man-made. It's not man-made. We're not dependent upon man-made inventions. This you can bank your life on, your soul, and you want to. Please, let's have a seat and trust the Lord. It will lead you safe home. Let's put our constant confidence in Jesus Christ, in His Word. One thing I found is from this position here, once we're seated, we can listen to the music of God's promises versus the. We don't have to listen to the dissonance and the accusation of the devil's. Accusation is doubts and lies, but it is from this position here of sitting. We can listen to the music of His promises, God's promises in His Word. I think it was D.L. Moody that said, he gave the testimony that for years, for a long time, for months, he was seeking God for more faith, begging for more faith. Lord, I need more faith. More faith. Lord, I want more faith. And then he came across the Scripture, heard the Scripture that we all know so well, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And he's just admitted that I found I was seeking for something that is right in here. Instead of, all the begging and pleading, I just started reading. And you know what? Faith started to well up and rise up. The young people, older people, don't underestimate the power of the written Word. And don't underestimate what you have in your hands. I hope you have it. There's many people groups that don't even have this yet, that will be longing for this. And we so casually just floats amongst us. Let faith rise up in your hearts as you read this. It will rise up in your hearts. Once we're seated, it's like once I quit walking around it, talking about it, thinking about it, deliberating, hesitating, I just sit down here in obedience. It's when things look different. Things look different here than it is when I'm standing. It's when our eyesight, we start seeing as the Lord sees. It's because 2 Corinthians 4 says, faith does not look on the things which are temporal, but the things which are eternal. It's from this position of faith, once we just accept the Lord and what He says, that we start seeing things as we should. Start seeing things from an eternal perspective. And by the way, this is warfare. This is warfare. It says, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Extinguish them. They'll come fiery. And that's been a common tactic of the enemy through the ages. If you want to take down the enemy, often they had lighted arrows trying to light the Indians did that with the forts, trying to light these with bow and arrows and light them with fire so they start burning. And the devil will do the same. He will try to, but we can with faith. No matter what accusation comes, some of those accusations might be a lie about your brother, your sister. You just put that shield up and just extinguish that. It's from this position that we're saying yes to everything that Jesus says. There's just an element of blindness and darkness. Just as the Pharisees, Jesus said you're blind. He says if you would say you have sin, there'd be hope for you. But you say we have no sin. They said your blindness remaineth. You're walking around up here. The blind, he said, let them alone. The blind, leave the blind. As soon as they would just agree with the Lord, sit down, their eyes would be opened. Their sins would be forgiven. So if we don't actually live according to God's Word, then we're not in the faith. It doesn't matter what we say. It's just obeying God's, sitting down, taking Him by faith, living according to this Word, That is living by faith. Some people almost have the idea that living by faith is just something I do personally with God and there's no word involved at all. I can do it apart from the word. I don't see it like that. Living by faith is being in the word of God. Okay. Another, maybe a slightly different angle here about on warfare with faith. I found it interesting when I looked up shield. What does shield actually mean? The word shield in the Greek, it says it's a shield as door shaped, from the shape of a door, almost like there was a skirmish somewhere. Beginning of time, there's a skirmish and someone looked around and picked up a door for a shield. I don't know how they got that idea, but it's a door shaped shield, and it just goes back to a door. A shield can also be, just think about it, in Jesus' days, and it's still somewhat like this, maybe in some countries, the walled cities, there's probably not too many left, but it was very common. A walled city always had doors, and doors are big things. Even the New Jerusalem goes to great length to describe the doors and so forth. Doors are they can be a block against the evil, but they are also when I go to someone's house, I don't go to the window to knock. I mean, that's happened to me already. But people knock at the door. You go to the door and knock. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So instead of just being a barrier against the evil, it's when I go to the door and knock at a friend's house, it opens up and it's a sign of welcome. Come in, a fellowship. So we can stretch our minds a bit about the door, the effect of a door in this warfare. Faith is depicted as the shield of faith, as a shape of a door. It can be a block, but it can also be opportunity as we press into warfare. Let's look at it as a block against the evil, but also as a door of opportunity. The reason I'm sharing this, I think we all need to be honest. Many of us are facing things in life that are just big, too big beyond myself. I am actually. There's things that I just can't, from up here, I just can't see. I just can't see. Unless I sit down, just give it to the Lord. Your promises in the Word, there's a solution for everything. Maybe, and a door is in a wall. There's a door back here, the door here, but there's a wall. It'd be foolish to just set up a door if there wouldn't be any walls. But the reason I like to talk about doors is because sometimes things happen in our life and we're up against a difficulty. We're up against a wall. Maybe a financial, or you name it. Maybe it's a relationship thing. It's just, you just sense that block, that wall. I just like to present this today, that we could just have faith, see a door of opportunity. Do we have enough faith that we just give these whatever we're facing to the Lord? And by faith, just, yes, I accept that shape of the door, Lord, that opportunity. I want to open that door of faith. The Bible talks about a door of faith in Acts 14 when Paul and some of his helpers came back from the first missionary journey. They came back to Antioch where they'd been set out from, where they'd been sent out, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to Gentiles. So it's not a small thing that we have been, the door of faith, that we are Gentiles. Let's not take it for granted. The door of faith has been opened for us. But I just want to encourage us all. Maybe there's a door in your life that needs to be opened. A door of faith that the Lord is wanting to open. That's also warfare. If there are things that we're facing that we know are bigger than I can handle. Big, it's beyond me. Maybe the Lord just wants you to acknowledge that. Open that door of faith. Take him at his word. And he'll bring deliverance. Well, I honestly didn't I quoted some scripture. If I would read every verse I talked about faith in the New Testament. We've been here a long time yet, but I have no intentions of doing that today. But I'd like to read a few examples about believing and faith from the Church of Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, it says, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Here talks about the work of faith. It's something as we're seated there. Paul knew that the start, how they had started out, and the testimony they had. That church of Thessalonica, their testimony was going out. It says all over the world. We'll just keep reading here. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. You'll find these three kind of as three threads intertwined throughout the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And often suffering is included there also. It says, knowing you, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we are among you, for that your sake. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. It's almost saying that someone that has taken this position, just trusted Jesus, taking him at his word, just living that, allowing him to live that out, we hardly have to preach anymore. Your example is doing all the preaching for us. What kind of preaching are we doing here at Remnant Christian Fellowship? What kind of preaching really are we doing? What kind of faith is the Lord living out through us? Are we allowing Him to live through us? That's a real challenge to me. This church here has had such a testimony. It was like your life has become an amplifier of the gospel. We don't even have to preach it. We don't have to say anything. Verse 13 of chapter 2, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of the Lord, receiving part, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Yeah, well, I could read some in every chapter here, but I don't think I will. I think it's enough said. In essence, faith simply is as those two little brothers taking the Father's word over my own ideas, over my own what I think is right, over my own logic, what just makes sense to me. I'm going to agree with Father. And it's not just initially for our salvation when we first believe. It's for the everyday trials we face in life. It's that for that ongoing salvation that the Lord is working in our life, wants to work out. Many times we're just tempted to go back to logic. And we're no better than those Pharisees. Actually, in Acts 28, one of the last verses, it says Paul was testifying to the Jews there at Rome. He called them together, had a great council. He talked, tried to give his defense, his reasoning, or his testimony, and says that they went away, but they had great reasonings. It doesn't say that it came to the Lord, but they had great reasonings. Great reasonings will not cause us always to sit down. Sometimes it might be part of the process. But if we're better off, instead of trying to logic, figure it out, explain it, dissect it, just sit down. Please have a seat, is what the Lord would say. Just accept my word. I know when I was converted about 40 years ago this summer, I didn't do a whole lot of reasoning when I was right up there with the Lord. He was heavy on my heart with conviction. I just accepted it, and great peace flooded my soul. And I'll say, the things that militate against that peace over the years is how well I've been seated or not been seated in that, resting in that. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest. I just like to sing this song as a prayer of consecration, just accepting this Lord's lot in my life, whatever he's sending. 387, have thine own way, Lord. I am up here. I'm just going to say I'm a needy person, and I just want this as a prayer in my own heart. Have thine own way, Lord. There were things this week, there were things this morning that I was resisting in my spirit, that the Lord's been dealing with me. If I would have my way, I would change a few things. I would change them from standing here. I see this and I know better, but I would like to change a few things. And I had to repent of that. And I just want to, this as a public testimony, singing this as a consecration. I don't want to get out of that. I want to stay in that position of lowliness, depending on someone, something else outside of me. So maybe you've never done this as a young person, surrendered your life. Maybe you've never just accepted that. Just said, yes, Lord, I'll accept that. Or maybe you're an older person that you're also dealing with issues like I am. And just sometimes, just have, new and afresh, just have to sit down. As we sing this, just be honest with yourself, with the Lord. Just feel free to join me up here. Just come up and kneel down or whatever the Lord leads you. So why don't we sing this? Let's stand and sing this song to the Lord. 387.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the Father, I am the slave. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way.
Just praying that we would truly be doing it from a sitting position, experiencing the reality of knowing you, you knowing us. We set our seal that you're true. You set your seal that you know us. Thank you for the provision in Christ Jesus that makes it all possible. Thank you for your precious blood. I just pray, Lord, keep moving in our midst here. We want to become like Jesus. Our only hope is in you, dear Lord, in these last days. We don't want to come up empty, like we heard this morning, like the foolish virgins. So keep washing our hearts, Lord, and purging us and pruning us, whatever it takes, Lord, to help us to walk in faith, to not give up the faith. Bless each one that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Lord bless you all. And others want to unload something, share with someone, just to find a brother or sister and share with them. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. As far as announcements today, actually I should open it up. Maybe someone else.